You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
And Jeff Poore filling in for Phil Williams today on this Thursday afternoon. Always a pleasure to be with this listening audience, filling in for Phil Williams, getting some well-deserved time off, a break away, but he'll be back sometime next week, I believe. But in the meantime, you got me for the next hour to close out Thursday. John Wall, Alabama Republican Party chairman, he'll be with us in about 30 minutes or so. He's had a busy few days, and so we'll have a lot to get into there. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, I believe tomorrow, Scott Buttram, a friend of mine from the Trustful Tribune, taking the microphone. I'm booked to be on that show, that program at some point. So you never can have enough Jeff Poore on these airwaves. It seems like it'll be 4 days in a row on Right Side Radio, or 4 out of 5 days, whatever. I was on one day earlier this week, and then I believe Monday. Nothing on Tuesday, but then you get the Grand Council yesterday. You got nothing but me today, and Buttram and I will go at it. Well, we tend to agree on everything, so Buttram and I will be on tomorrow at some point during the program. But he's gonna take the helm. I'm sure you're very, very capable hands there. Let's get right into it. Spent a lot of time talking about a few things. The silliness that has become the quote-unquote riverfront rumble down in Montgomery, and the left, the media trying to capitalize, weaponize, whatever you want to call it, eyes. And it's just, I fully expect this to be forgotten. There'll still be, you know, Montgomery Press, the sad Montgomery Press it is, the Alabama Reflector. Alabama Political Reporter, if you still read that. But the usual culprits will try to make this to be something that it isn't, and then they'll realize the national media have moved on. But we spent a little time on that. Turns out that one of the suspects charged with third-degree assault that we saw in the video, guess what, a Democrat voter. Surprise, surprise. Also, we talked about what's going on big picture wise, and why does it seem like a lot of decisions are being made without input from the public? And like I said, you know, we always see Alabama's one of the most business friendly states, and we are a low tax state. Well, you're low tax if you're a big property owner. A lot of people don't own property, but anyway, this idea that there seems to be a system that is sometimes slanted toward the and then this sounds so cliche, slanted toward a special interest. And how did we get there? And I have my theories on that. And I think a lot of it it's just lack of participation at the primary level. So there is that. Also, this is not really my specialty, but this kind of just happening in the last few hours, U.S.-Iran deal, putting some detained Americans, and five Americans detained. They're already on house arrest, but freeing up $6 billion in oil money of the Iranians. I bring that up. Katie Britt, our junior U.S. senator, just putting out a statement, released a statement on Biden's ransom to Iran. While I was enjoying my fellow Americans and welcoming home our citizens held hostage around the world, I am deeply troubled by the naive deal the Biden administration reportedly struck, handing $6 billion to the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism is a reckless, dangerous decision that threatens the lives of Americans and our allies across the globe. This appeasement will only embolden our adversaries and hostile actors to take more American hostages in the future, as they know doing so could score them massive payouts from this administration. And as she concludes by saying, as we near this anniversary of his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, President Biden has once again shown the world his failed foreign policy is built on a foundation of weakness. It's time to get back to achieving peace through strength. That from Katie Britt, who has not a pronoun. Unless I've missed it, I haven't seen anybody else really weigh in from the Alabama delegation. But I can't think this is going to be popular at all. I'm sure it's just controversial enough to dominate the news cycle for a little while. We're expecting some hunt. And we're back. Somehow, we lost the connection there, but I think we got the everything back up and running there. You never know with these remote broadcasts and how things can sometimes go, but I think we've got the bugs worked out. Anyway, I'm Jeff Bohr. I'm filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, as the slogan goes. Still to come in the next segment, we'll hear from Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. Will talk to him. A lot going on there. They had a very successful Republican dinner on Friday night. The party raised $1.2 million, 2,700 people in attendance. So things are going pretty good there at for the Alabama Republican Party. Back-to-back big, huge events with Ron DeSantis back in the wintertime and Donald Trump now. I'm starting to hear a fat lady warm up. This Republican Party presidential contest, it doesn't look like it's going to be much of a contest. And my thought was this. You look back at 2016, that was the competitive Republican primary. And Donald Trump just didn't do as well in Iowa. He struggled in Iowa. Cruz won that state. But Trump goes on to win in New Hampshire and a bunch of other places. Well, right now, as it stands, I mean, Trump's just dominating DeSantis in Iowa. Like, the DeSantis campaign never really got going like it needed to. They probably waited too late, which is defies, the usual conventional wisdom. So here we are now, I think, eyeing this Biden Trump matchup. Like, we needed part two of this, right? To settle this. And that's what's going to be, it'll be fascinating to watch. Because the thing that gets me, now, this is as of today, right now, this moment in history. And we are more than a year away by the time people go to vote. Heck, we're not 100% there on Trump being the nominee. We are 100% there on Biden being the nominee. My friend Jerry Carl, a congressman down here, 1st Congressional District, he believes there's no way Biden's going to be your nominee on the Democrat side. He thinks it's Gavin Newsom, and he thinks that is really going to shore up the vote in the for suburban women, which is now the most coveted constituency known to man, or known to woman, whatever you want to call it. That's the way he sees it. But back to what I was talking about, and looking at a potential Biden Trump matchup, New York Times Siena College poll has Biden and Trump tied at 43%. So 86%, another 14%, But if those two guys are tied in the popular vote, it's over. Donald Trump's going to be your next president. He will win the Electoral College. I mean, it's been a while since a Republican won the popular vote. But Biden is just on his way not to winning the popular vote. It is this, guys. And I think all this noise and indictments and Hunter Biden and this classified documents, it is what it is. But everything is baked in at this point. Half the country thinks that the deck is stacked against Trump, and the other half thinks it's stacked against Joe Biden. They think it's just the Hunter Biden stuff is just a Half crazed Trump inspired scheme from Jim Jordan and James Comer. There's nothing to it. It's just Republican hijinks or something. And they're not going to change their mind about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. You know, they can have Joe Biden on tape saying, hey, wire the money to my Swiss bank account for the bribe you're going to pay me. And half the country just wouldn't believe it. It's just white noise to them. So that's the struggle here. So to me, there's no undecideds. There's too few to make a distinguishable difference in the country right now. If you care, you care. And if you care, then you've made up your mind. You made up your mind a long time ago. Where the difference is, I think that some of the, I don't know about the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden laptop, Ukrainian uranium or whatever deals there are out there. But I do think it's just a public persona that's going to make the difference here. That half 43% of the country thinks one thing, 43% of the country thinks the opposite. And there's 14% that probably don't care enough to have an opinion. I don't know where you've been. You've been listening to Lizzo's greatest hits or something. Just your head's in the clouds. You don't care. Well, okay, whatever. But the personality of the campaign, I think, suggests that Trump's going to win because he's just, his voters are sticking with him, number one. But it's just a degree of enthusiasm you need on election day. And I don't, the only enthusiasm you see from the other side is they hate the guy on the other side. Maybe that's enough for them to get out and vote. But like having a discussion about DeSantis or Nikki Haley or any of these other guys running, it's all academic. It's just not going to happen. They're just beating the incumbent president or the former incumbent president, you know, a former president. Head-to-head in the party primary was a fool's errand. The Trump campaign killed the DeSantis effort in the womb. And they've yet to get any traction. And it's, like I said, it may be too late. The way I saw them get any traction was this. Iowa, we'd watch Iowa. Maybe DeSantis could pull a rabbit out of a hat in Iowa. And if you could win, you could pull off an upset in a Republican primary or two early on, then you got a punch or shot at getting the nomination. It's the McCain strategy, who was just polling abysmally, like in fourth place in 2008. Like, he's behind everybody. He's behind Mitt Romney. He's behind Mike Huckabee's. You go down the list. And there's fourth place or third place, John McCain. But then John McCain comes and he finishes strong, better than he was supposed to in Iowa, wins New Hampshire. Guess what? He's on his way to being the nominee. And that was going to be the Ron DeSantis a path that people counted him for dead. He was taking the public funds. Well, and here we are now. Then he goes on to be the nominee. And you know how that ended. We get Sarah Palin out of it, for better or for worse. And that was supposed to be DeSantis. That was going to be his Hail Mary, his last-ditch effort to get it to where he needed to be. And I don't think it's going to happen, guys. I see you start thinking about, you just got to start thinking about Donald Trump as a nominee and plan accordingly. We're it's a weird place in presidential politics. It's so early, and it feels like this. It feels different than it did in 2016 with Donald Trump in 2015, because in 2015 it was a shoestring budget. It was Corey Lewandowski, Hope Hicks, Donald Trump flying around on Trump's airplane, filling up high school gymnasiums, and no one had an answer for it. And he was saying and doing things that people had never done before. And he was, defying gravity, not spending a lot of his own money, period. taking on the Jeb Bush machine, taking all these guys to the woodshed. I guess we wound up with like John Kasich or something and Ted Cruz. People are like, why don't you like John Hutchman or somebody? But he walks away with it. But it was a much different approach. Well, I think he's walking away with it even more this go around. And he's got actual bodies and boots on the ground. So DeSantis will have his day. He's a young guy. This is just, I don't see how this changes at this point. And we're going to get another fantastic matchup between Joe Biden and Donald Trump at the way things are going. And then you figure it out from there. But if you believe the polling, and I give the Republican plus five in any mainstream media poll, because the demographic, the sample they like to use, tends to be very, very slanted demographic makeup composition. They assume things that aren't true. They assume that you're going to have high minority turnout in some places. It's just not true. It's just not realistic. It's not realistic unless Barack Obama's on the ballot. And that's why Democrats, they overpoll and underperform a lot of times. I mean, that's why they underperformed in the 2020 election. Remember, Biden was just dominating the polls. He was supposed to run away with it. But it did not happen that way. So when you start seeing these mainstream media polls, pay attention to them. When it's this close, I mean, I don't understand it, and I think maybe behind the scenes, maybe with conversations I'm not privy to, they know they're in trouble and they got to figure something out. And they're hoping that these indictments and then hopefully a court trial and hopefully one of them will come through stick. And you'll have a president that, you know, a presidential candidate that can't win. That you'll contaminate the ballot just enough. And yet it's not going good for Democrats, and they don't really have an answer for it. They're hoping for the best here. Anyway, we got to get a break here. We'll pick it up on the other side. We'll talk to Tommy Tuberville and where that's going. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Side Radio. Jeff Poore filling in for Phil Williams this Thursday afternoon. Very grateful for the opportunity to talk to this audience. I get to hear my old show, my old time slot on WVNN. But hopefully everybody's doing well out there. But joining us now, he's a regular on my show down in Mobile and FM Talk 106.5. But I wanted to get him on. It's been a busy, busy news cycle, and especially today. But the Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall joins us on the line here. Chairman, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be on the show.
Hey,
I do have a question though. Couldn't Phil Williams find anyone better to fill in?
No, it was either me or best of, I understand.
No, a pleasure to have you back on the air on WVNN in the afternoons.
Just for a day. The opportunities are rare, but I do cherish them. Hey, before we get into it, it's been a busy, busy time for you. And just kind of watching you, you've been all over the state here, but Kicking a busy weekend in Montgomery. Let's start there. Very successful summer dinner, I think. 2,700 people, $1.2 million raised. Very unprecedented time, but certainly you got to feel good about where you are today.
No, absolutely. You know, largest attendance-wise, the largest dinner in Alabama Republican Party history. And then looping back to fundraising, which we're going to need because we got to potentially have a swing district coming up for U.S. Congress. We're going to be on the front lines of fighting to hold the U.S. House. Best fundraiser of all time for the party at $1.1 million. So we're very, very happy and very, very worn out.
Well, and you got through that. I mean, pretty marquee year getting both DeSantis and Trump and the two biggest events. You know, that's... that's a good way to round the corner here as we approach the end of 2023.
No, it really is. And I love that we're able to raise Alabama's profile. You know, I love to talk about so much about how I want to see Alabama successful. This is my state. And seeing us be able to be on the leading edge, both, you know, kind of being known for being a state that the presidential candidates want to visit or Republican leaders across the country want to visit, but also leading on the conservative policies that are important to the people, to the Republican voters across the country and the people of Alabama.
Well, let's talk policy while we're here. You had a business meeting the next day there in Montgomery at the Renaissance, and they're looking to at least turn the tide there. It just seems that the teachers union, the AA, and its parent organization, to a lesser extent, the NEA, but they do seem to have an outsized role in Republican politics. You know, and this all goes back to an ill-advised, I would say, to the AA newsletter they put out to kind of take it a victory lap, if you will, a failed school choice, grocery tax, not where a lot of people would have liked to have seen it cut. Divisive concepts, critical race theory, these things they put in their newsletter. And I think a lot of your rank and file membership said, hey, we need to send a message here, but you got that done. And, here we are. You're now, you got to talk about that a little, if you would.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and this goes back to a very, very simple concept. Parents should be in control of their children's education. It should not be a special interest group. It should not be a education union, you know. And that's what this was about. We want to free our state school board, our county school board, and our superintendents from the too much influence from special interest groups that do not share the value of the people of Alabama. And that's the critical thing for the Alabama Republican Party. We want our candidates free from that. We want to have their back. We're going to make sure they get replaced funding if they need it in the general elections. But most importantly, we want to make sure that their priority are serving the people of Alabama that elected them, as good government should, and that we're putting our children first and that we're protecting our children from woke policies. And we're really standing up for them and saying, hey, you know what? There is nothing more precious to us than protecting our children and helping them have a good education and not an indoctrination.
Well, and, you know, where do we go from here to get to the priorities? I mean, do you see maybe message received, or do you think it's going to take more? Do you feel good looking into 2024 session? It's not that far away. It is February. Do you feel like just from doing something like that puts Republicans or the Republican Party, I suppose, in better position to get some of this conservative stuff done?
Yeah, well, and you know, first I want to say this really was targeted at good policy, you know, and I actually think whether this passed or not, I think we're seeing school choice coming in the state legislature. You know, as I'm talking to the rank and file members in both the state house and the state senate, it will pass. It's just a matter of when. And I've been very, you know, obviously a big supporter of school choice. I think we're going to see this issue coming up this cycle. The governor is behind it. The lieutenant governor has been very outspokenly in support of school choice. I think we are going to see school choice make it across the finish line in 2024. But if not, you better bet it will be back up in 2025. This is an idea. It's a concept that its time has come. And so I don't think it's a matter of if, but when.
And you think it's not going to be some watered down school choice. I mean, because that's just a worry for a lot of folks, I think, is, you know, the governor's talking about it. Is she trying to get out in front of this? Are we better off waiting for the next governor? She's never been particularly friendly to school choice, or maybe she has. And but talk about that. I mean, we're probably in a better position, but is it going to be the right school choice? I think a lot of the rank and file would like to see.
Well, and I think a lot of that is going to depend on the committees going through the House and the Senate. So the governor can propose, but the final decision is going to be up to the legislature. And I hear a lot of members that want to see a strong school choice bill. You know, a big talking point here is going to be, you know, is it a full dollar amount? You know, is it 100% of what the state currently spends on education? That's question one. Another one is testing. And I am a very, very strong advocate for not including burdensome testing. Why I say that is, why on earth would we want to stick into school choice testing that will push education towards the curriculum that is being taught? And to be honest, that is a complete failure in our public school system. We're 47th in education overall. I don't want to regulate and force people who are opting out into the same failed system that we currently have. In fact, I'm open to working with our teachers, finding ways to cut their regulation and to cut their lack of creativity in their classroom to try to help our public school education.
Well, let's talk about this, though, and I think this is where a lot of division, if there is a schism on this with Republican or conservatives, it is that accountability mechanism. If not testing, then what should they rally behind?
Well, I think the one thing we can all agree on is a fiscal accountability. There needs to be a system put in place that we make sure if this money is being spent, it is being spent on the child's education. To me, if we make sure the money is being spent on education, and we really believe in parental choice, believe in parental rights and that it's a parent's choice, then as long as the money is being spent on education, we should trust them to use that, pick the style of education that they want for their children. And so if we have proper fiscal accountability, we don't have to have testing. I'll give you an example. We all know that children learn language better at a younger age. You know, and yet in our public school system, we teach second languages in high school. You know, everybody out there is taking, whether it's Spanish or French or German, when they're in high school. Well, it would be smarter to teach that when you're in first and second grade. So if a parent wants to say, hey, look, I want to swap things around and I want to be creative in my child's education, they may not test well for the first few years because they're targeting a different subject. But that end result might be a far better education. And I want them to have that freedom.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall for a few more minutes here. Chairman, APLS board today, and been on the air pretty much the whole time during the duration of that. But I want to get an update from you. This is the State Library Board, and you sit on it. What happened today in Montgomery?
Yeah, so I'm a fairly new board member, and really was interesting to see, you know, as parents, mothers came in and kind of shared some of what they've experienced directly. Some quotes out of, you know, showed the board copies out of books that our children have access to. And I cannot speak for anyone else, but I was horrified. Like, I knew this stuff was out there, but it was even worse than I had thought. And I think it really highlights two things that are important to me. One, we have got to do a better job of protecting our children. We have got to do a better job of making sure that we let them be children again, and stop these progressive social engineering tactics. But two, I'm also very concerned by the fact that we have faith-based groups that are being kept out of our libraries, and yet we have liberal or woke groups, or even in the case of Mobile, a drag show at the libraries, and they're not being kept out. And I think those questions as a board, I really think those questions need to be asked. And so I put those questions forth today, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some answers and getting some form of update at our next board meeting.
And so this is a work in progress, I suppose. I mean, we know that what we all talk about is the private library, but it seems to be pretty widespread.
That was one of my questions. How widespread is this? How, you know, if we have some of these books that were obviously offensive, obviously cross the line of you know, open sexuality in books designed for our children. Where are these at? How widespread is it? And what does the Alabama Library Board, what power do we have to try to help protect our children and our parents?
And just put some guidelines in place. Hey, Chairman, sorry we're running a little short on time today, but I did want to get you on to at least talk about that and what happened today. And congratulations on a well-done event over the weekend, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
I will look forward to it. I always appreciate sharing the public what the Republican Party is working on.
Hey, we appreciate what you're doing. I'm at Republican Party Chairman John Wall there. Let's get a break in here. We'll come back, close it out on the other side. This is Jeff Moore filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Right Side Radio, Jeff Poore filling in for the legend in the making here, Phil Williams, what's left of this Thursday afternoon. Real quick before we put the finishing touches on the day, I want to get another plug in for our sponsor. Take it away, Boomer.
ZLA Solutions. They are amazingly good at doing the things that helps you to make your business better. ZLA Solutions. And they can do things like sorting and containment, quality control, help you with your logistics, your warehousing, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter still remains staffing. So if you need people, I mean, if you need bodies, you need people coming to work every day, they can help you find them. At blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter, I always say. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, get you a whole crew, a shift of people. They can also just find the one or two people you need with special niche skills that are hard to find. Anyway, ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. That's their goal, is to help you make your business better. So do me a favor, check them out. Their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. And if you're talking to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
That's ZLA Solutions. Y'all check that out. I'm about to wind it down here, but just kind of, and I just saw this on the Washington Post website. They're going after Tommy Tuberville, claiming he doesn't live in Alabama. Now he does have cite Auburn as his residence, but I tell you what's going on here, guys, and don't want to get into the necessary merits. We don't really have time for that of the attack. The Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden media machine really wants to make an example out of Coach here. Watch for more of this. This is how the media, this is how they work in concert with Democrat politicians. It's fascinating to watch the way this is sort of winding down here. They're going to get their way ultimately. But Tommy Tuberville's a real thorn in the side of the Biden administration. He literally has stopped these military promotions and just a lot of different things. The Biden administration really tested the powers of the executive. You know, all of this that they're doing, guys, and it started with Nancy Pelosi with their first impeachment of Trump. They had to impeach. They had to impeach. And she waited. I think she held off the AOCs. Speaking of which, have we heard from AOC lately? But they held off the left flank of the National Democratic Party as long as they could in Trump's term, and then they got the impeachment. But it just has totally changed the landscape of politics. And what do I mean by that? Now we have a new normal. Now impeachment isn't like a nuclear option. Now, it may have begun with Newt Gingrich in the 1990s, but that's so far gone. I don't know. I mean, Bill Clinton, is he as morally reprehensible? Do we sit around and think about how terrible Bill Clinton was as Republicans in the 1990s. Because I would argue Democrats are way more deranged about this. There may have been some irrational dislike or whatever you want to call it of Bill Clinton, but the Trump is just it borders on Richard Nixon delusional anger. I don't know, just something very triggering for Democrats about that. But back to what I'm saying here, the apparatus, the intelligentsia is coming after our own Tommy Tuberville, and then you're going to see these stories. And this is the way it works, that it's a very difficult, very formidable opponent when your adversary, they own the media, and they own the political structure, the bureaucracy, everything about it. Anyway, they're gonna get it tomorrow on the program from the Trustville Tribune. Gonna get Scott Butcher, a friend of mine. He is filling in for Phil tomorrow. I will be on at that program. I believe my time slot is 2:30. So I will. You'll hear from me again. Like I said, I never can get enough of Jeff Poor here on Right Side Radio. It has literally become my second home. And it's a very, 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 very kind to put up with this. But that's where we're going here. And real quick, I guess just a parting thought here. I really mean what I say just about the engagement. I mean, put a lot of thought into this lately and how there's a disconnect. I think there's a disconnect. I may be in my own bubble here between generally the population. We try to find that political center of gravity in Alabama and the way the government functions. And I guess we spend a lot of time on I-65. Regardless of your political stripes, you want to see 65 fixed. You're tired of sitting in traffic trying to get to Birmingham or Montgomery or wherever you're going. Maybe you're going to the beach. You just want to spend time with your family. Was that a priority of this governor? Is that a priority of hers? She's got other ideas. How does something like that happen? Why doesn't this Al-Dot director say, hey, you know, this really is people sitting in traffic and Verbena, Alabama, when 200 miles away is beach checkout time, and that's what's causing the tie up here. And that's not good. And it needs to be addressed, but it's not being addressed because there's other priorities. And they're gonna build this new highway in West Alabama, and they're gonna borrow $1 billion to do it. And it doesn't really suit anybody's needs in general, maybe a few constituents. And that's really the center, the politics and the ideology and all that aside, the policy isn't lining up with the people in this state, and there's a reason for that. Anyway, it has been a pleasure. I got to call it a day. I will try to do better the next time I'm on. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Jeff Poor, filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just played right.